สองสี่เจ็ดสามสี่เจ็ดเป็นอะไรกินสุขโอ้บอยสองสี่เจ็ดสามสี่เจ็ด
kind of like this theory that there are these really amazing things that are there, they're right around us, but we need to figure out some way of kind of like tapping into them. Okay, so yeah, so learning to love you more. Miranda and I come up with what we call assignments, which are listed here on the side, and you can sort of scroll through those, starting at the bottom with number one, and then going up to, I think at this point we have 53 assignments. And then anyone in the world can decide to do one of those and do what we refer to as a report. And then those are all posted, and then we wind up doing exhibitions and radio shows and various things related, coming off of Learning to Love You More. So I'm just going to kind of go through a few different assignments and some of the reports that have been made for them. So this was assignment 24, cover the song Don't Dream It's Over.
There is freedom within, there is freedom without. Try to catch the deluge and never come. There's a battle in the air, many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me.
Okay, so pretty good polished version of Don't Dream It's Over. And then from there we had all of these other versions and lots of different approaches to how to do that song. So here's one from Rexandra, who was in San Francisco at the time.
There's freedom within, there's freedom without, trying to catch the deluge in a paper cup. There's a battle ahead, many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling with me. Hey now, hey now, don't dream it's over. Hey now, hey now, when the world comes in, they come.
Okay, so like totally different version, also, you know, equally good, but just totally different. Here's another one from Paula Spur in Three Hills, Alberta, Canada. Here's another one, Margarita Day and Tim Chapman in New York City. Okay, so that just gives you an idea of the range of different cover versions of this one song. And I think that's a good assignment to start with, because in a lot of ways what we're asking people to do are to make cover versions of various things. And instead of feeling like in each situation you have to sort of reinvent, like come up with your own song. Instead, in this case, you get to just do the cover, which in music I think is common enough, but in other forms, oftentimes that's considered not a good thing to do, especially maybe in visual arts. But a lot of what Learning to Love You More is about is sort of taking out the sort of pressure of having to come up with something and then just sort of doing your own version of the same thing that a bunch of other people are doing. We first came up with 1 through 5, so this is one of the very first ones that was turned in for assignment 2, which was to make a neighborhood field recording. One of them we really liked a lot, which was this Morgan Rosacki one from San Leon, Texas. And I was just in Texas asking, and I asked lots of people if they knew where San Leon was, and nobody did, so it's like a very mysterious small town. But so Morgan went around and she photographed and recorded all of her neighbors singing songs, which was the assignment.
Step number 1, Hazel Sedita. She lives to the right of me in a small yellow house.
Ready?
Good.
And
I
forgot
how to make. The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas reminds me of the one I love.
So here's another one.
Now we'll be off to the house, which is not directly right of me, but is one house down. This is where my uncle Byron Pope resides.
So love a woman was created below, yeah.
Okay, so we liked those photographs and recordings so much that we based another assignment on Morgan Rosacki's report. And so assignment number 12 was to get a temporary tattoo of one of Morgan Rosacki's neighbors. And so all of these people got tattoos. Some of them are really elaborate ones like this, which I like. It's sort of like a drawing of a kind of naked hairy guy on the back of a sort of naked hairy guy. And then number 18, to recreate a poster you had as a teenager. And in this case, what we asked was for people to think back to when they were a teenager and what posters they had on the walls of their bedroom, and then to in one way or another, do a drawing of that poster. It could be from memory or it could be from a photograph. And in the case of Jack McCullough, I'm not quite sure what he did, but he really nailed Jack Nicholson, as far as I'm concerned. So this is one that we really like a lot. And then the second part of this was to also include a piece of music that you would have listened to at that time when you were a teenager, when you had these posters on your wall. So this is the piece of music that Jack McCullough included. Sense of what Jack McCullough's room is like. Here's another one, which is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990. And the piece of music that was included with that is this. And then here's one from Denmark, Heidi Hove Pedersen, kind of traditional horse poster. And the piece of music that goes with that.
What will they say Monday at school?
So it's just kind of interesting how you can take just these two sort of simple things and kind of, at least in your mind, create a sense of what this room was like and what this person was like as a teenager. Then. Another project, which was also about kind of stumbling across something, was this one, Sculpt a Bust of Steve. And I was in Hartford, Connecticut, working on an exhibition at an art center. And I was taking a taxi from my hotel to the art center. And Steve was my taxi driver. And when he realized where I was going to this art center, he asked me if I was an artist. And I told him I was, sort of. And then he asked me if I would sculpt his bust. And he had this photograph with him in the taxi, like he'd been sort of waiting for an artist to show up so he could get to sculpt his bust. And I was a little bit hesitant about taking this on because I'm not necessarily so comfortable doing something like that. But I said, what if I make it available to people who would maybe feel comfortable doing that? And he said, sure, whatever, and I told him about the website. So we put it on the website, and then all of these people sculpted busts of Steve, like this one. And then what we did is, because I was already doing this exhibition there, we decided just to include all of the busts that were made before the time of the exhibition. So Steve came to the opening, I invited him to the opening to see the busts, and he got pretty excited about them and then went out with his taxi and started picking people up and bringing them back in to see the show. And then when the show was done, he got to keep all of the busts. So they're there at his house, and I've been sort of meaning to go see what that looks like. So then another one that we did was we asked people to write down a recent argument that they had had and to sort of do it as like a dialogue between you and the person that you had the argument with. So in this case, it's sort of like A.D. Having this argument. And then we did a second assignment coming off of that, number 38, which was to act out someone else's argument. So you would select one of these arguments from this list of someone you don't know at all, and then recreate it as a video. So here's an example of one of those.
You know, I'm so hungry, Robert. Just wanted a burger.
Then why didn't you get a burger? I said, yes, get a burger.
No, you didn't. You rolled your eyes inside when I asked you, can I have a burger?
What? I'm not rolling my eyes. Oh my God, you're unbelievable. You're so unbelievable sometimes, you know? I said, yes, get a burger. What's so unethical about that? What? Why do you think I had to ask?
Because I don't assume I just get a burger if you order one too. It's your money, you're the one paying, and I don't assume that.
Then that's your problem, okay? That's your problem. I did not roll my eyes. That's your bad memory. You should have asked for a burger. It's not a big deal. Because then that's what they keep me from eating my burger. Damn it.
Shut your mouth and eat your burger!
So here's another one that also takes place in a car. So I think there's a lot of car-related ones. It's sort of a tense situation for people sometimes.
Can I get some sweet and sour sauce?
It's in the bag.
Your sweet and sour butter? Wow, thanks.
Is there sauce in the bag?
No.
That bitch!
What the hell? What is... Come on, get back here!
There's no sauce in the bag!
So that's just based on somebody else's argument. And kind of going through this process, you start to realize how kind of ridiculous these things are, I guess. So here's another one, number 39, which is to take a picture of your parents kissing. And sometimes what we like to do is create almost like an archive of something that we wish we could see more often, but normally is left out of, you know, popular media. Then this sort of jumps ahead a bit. Eventually I wound up in Portland and doing projects in other places. And I went to this gas station where I'd heard that the owner of the gas station wanted to have a film made at his gas station. This is Jay Dykeman, the person who owned Jay's Quick Gas in Portland. And I asked him what this film was going to be about. I said I could help him make the film, and he said great, that he'd been waiting for somebody to show up for like 15 years or something. And then I said, okay, so what's the film going to be like? What are we basing this on? And he said that he'd always pictured that it would be like Ulysses by James Joyce. And so I was sort of like a little bit daunted by that. But I decided that on his recommendation that I would read Ulysses. And so I started reading through it and then trying to figure out how we were going to sort of incorporate that into this gas station environment and talking to him more about what he was envisioning. And then the decision that we made was to just write lines from Ulysses onto cue cards. And then I filmed and someone else held the cue cards up, and the mechanics and the customers who were coming through and people wandering around the streets all read these lines. And then from that we created a film.
Why? Is the great teacher
Open your eyes.
I am getting along nicely in the dark, one to eternity.
Open your eyes now.
Has all vanished? Am I forever in the black? World without end?
And then that was projected at the gas station at night, and we'd given out little flyers to all the people who we were videotaping so they would know when the projection was going to happen. So it was kind of interestingly intense because before the film had actually been shot or produced, I'd already decided on the screening date and was sort of handing them out to these people who would then come back to expecting to see themselves there. But it all worked out, and we had like 200 people like leaning up against gas station and pumps and things like that watching themselves there.
Oh boy, yes, I'm sleeping, I'm sleeping, I'll be going away. I'm sleeping, yes, I'm sleeping, I'll be going away.